Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
Howdy, everybody. We are the Horrible Decisions Podcast, and we are going to be in Dallas, Texas, Memorial Day weekend. Bitch, it's a Sunday. We're going to be headlining the Two Together Land Festival, and you bitches better not have no motherfucking work on Sunday. Call out, ho.
I mean, you could do that, but also, it's a three-day weekend. They have Monday off. We will see you guys in Dallas, Texas at the Together Land Festival. Make sure you get your tickets now. We will be live on the podcast stage. That's May 26th. Get your tickets now at togetherland.com. Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy B.
I'm Wheezing.
Ooh, girl, act like you pot.
I don't. Anyway, I'm Wheezy, and it's Women's History Month, so to be fair, we had women of all different colors and creeds. But the reason we have our guests on is because, honestly, I just love the content you're making in your clips, and I saw that Mandy liked one, and Mandy normally don't like having white guests, but I'm like, oh, Mandy liked something.
So I liked the one where I only saw a black girl on. So when she said, you know this girl, I said no. Y'all, we have Mal on the pod. Let's get to Jesus Christ. By the way, before we just started this goddamn episode, we just had a full dissection of Mal's shoes because I am convinced they were regifted to her. She said she got them from a black person. They are...
Ooh, girl, she don't like you.
They are boots. They are boots.
They're black
Air Force One.
Air Force One combat boots.
But they're black.
That's lesbian.
It is.
Oh, yeah, she's kind of right.
It is. And maybe that's why they were gifted to you.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Was she gay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys fuck?
No.
Oh.
We've been friends since, like, middle school. I don't think she was
trying to... Is she a shooter? Because who else is buying black Air Force Ones? Like, I need to know. You might need to ask her if she got weapons in her house.
Oh, my God. I'm shocked.
She's like, I'm not about to ask my black friend if they have a gun.
No, seriously. Y'all, I'm looking at these like, I'm a little scared of you. I ain't even gonna hold your mouth.
But you know,
I don't know how you get down, but them shoes say you get down a certain way. That's all I'm gonna say.
Maybe that's why we like it so far.
So, Mal, your podcast called Made It Out.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your show, because it's new, right?
Yeah, it's brand new. It's like 2 months old.
How you got your shit popping like that?
I honestly don't know. We do it out of our bedroom. It's me and my girlfriend. I'm from Texas, so I have a lot of gay closet trauma.
Yeah.
And I just sit on my couch and get drunk and talk about that.
You really got out of there right before they really started fucking over all the laws.
She was like, what didn't matter
to me? You were like, let me get the fuck out of here.
I'm deeply connected to my gut.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Texas is one of those where I love, so I go to Dallas every Thanksgiving. And as much as I'm like, dang, I like the houses here, I'm like, but Texas is one of those states now, especially that they just want to keep taking away all women's rights. Mm-hmm. But I just don't feel like... makes sense.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't.
Everybody's moving.
Blue.
Yeah, you. They say that, but then you get there and you're like,
and you're like,
this is still racist.
It's still racist. It's giving Florida 2.0.
Yeah. Where in Texas are you from?
Dallas.
Oh,
yeah. I lived in Dallas, and I lived in the city, but it's so pretentious. It's old money.
Yeah.
It is old money.
So it's definitely still giving that feeling.
And so, Made It Out is about you coming out of the closet, as of you're a full blown lesbian. Are you gold star?
No.
You've had dick before.
Yes.
And you don't miss it?
Not even at all.
Oh.
That's how I know I'm gay.
See, I had a girlfriend for a few years and I was like, right after probably the 8th month of eating pussy, I was like, we should have a threesome.
Do you know how gay I am? I literally don't even like the strap.
Oh, that's gay. That was me.
You're real gay. Oh, you don't like penetration?
Because it feels too much like sex with men.
Oh, you. They hurt you.
No,
they
I'm going to tell you something, though. Most women I know that are gay don't like strapping either. Most women I know that do strap are fucking someone that used to fuck men. Mm. And they feel that it's something they're looking for.
Mm.
But
that's how I know I ain't really gay. I've only been strapped by a woman and I strap men. But... I never strapped a woman. It's crazy. I've only been strapped by a woman. But because I'm like, no, bitch, I need some penetration.
Right.
But I've said that too. I don't come with head. I come with penetration. So I need the dick. So for you, you came out what age?
Fully 28.
Oh, you came out late.
How old do you know?
I'm 30. I came out 2 years ago.
How long had you been gay? Because you came out at 28.
This is funny. How long you been gay?
How long have I been gay? I've known I was gay since like little.
Really?
Like 4 or 5 years old when you're playing house and you're like,
oh my God, that's when I like
Okay, sorry.
I mean, I hunched all my friends. We all hunch our friends.
No, tell. No, tell I don't think we do.
You don't. I think everyone has hunched their friends.
They can't ask you. You're gay.
No, but I mean, really, like, yeah, as Danny, but I think all women at one point have hunched. They went from teddy bears to their homegirls.
I'm cheating.
And they didn't know what they was doing, but everybody's like done dry hunched.
I don't think that's common for people that are straight, though.
I think so. I think we all experience.
Do we know anyone? Who can we call that does it? That's not a.
Nah, bitch, everybody hunch each other. Because my homegirl that's not gay now got 3 kids, and I hunched her. But she's straight.
Well, maybe that's the fork. Maybe it's like either that's when you figure it out. Either it's like, no.
When you a little girl, you figured out if you like. Bitch, hey, we almost got caught by our daddy. She came in, bitch, we was playing school. And bitch, we done rolled off the bed. we just played school.
What school?
No, school is like when you got the teacher and the kid, somebody teaching the other a lesson. Bitch.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That is advanced.
We were like, oh, was it role playing too early?
Yeah.
Well, that's
go ahead, school.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
You look like a teacher now. No,
and I'm just saying, we've done, like, I used to dry hump, like, boys, too. We did mother-daughter, and then someone was the kid, and the kid was the one we ain't want. We would be in the closet, because we're the adults. We have our own room. That's
crazy. Okay, I definitely played house. Where, like, house?
See?
Not school, house. Oh.
She said, no, bitch.
So, you described your podcast as wanting to push the gay agenda, but what is it? What's the gay agenda? Do you feel like there's too many maybe male-driven gay podcasts? Because I always feel like I'm seeing a lot of gay podcasts from men, but maybe lesbians I don't actually.
There's not.
We've had some, but not as much.
There is not enough lesbian content,
mm-hmm.
Period. There's nothing. There's the L word. There's a couple of lesbian podcasts. But yeah, but like, what can you actually say?
Because we love the gays. They gave us makeup. You know what I mean? Like, we can't stop thinking about it. But for lesbians, I feel like you're right. We're not seen enough.
Because what they give us? What the lesbians give us? We know the
these gays shoes.
Gave us... Take it back.
The lesbians contribute.
We don't want any more lesbian content if it's the shoes. Okay, but no, I guess that's, I mean, sorry.
No, but, okay, but think about it. We do glamorize gay men.
Yes.
And we not do. Necessarily the lesbians. And oh my God, is that the patriarchy? But keep going.
Yes, I actually think so. I think that being a lesbian is the ultimate rebellion. It's like, fuck men. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't need you. So why would the patriarchy want to put all women content out there?
You're right.
No?
Hmm.
So it's like, let's make stuff that's only for women, you know?
Since women your pod's been out, I did want to ask you something. How will you then open up? Will it forever only be lesbians? Will you get a little queer? You have some trans people on there, some non-binary. How do you envision it? Because when we first started...
Well, trans women can be lesbian.
No, I know. But I'm just saying trans people. Like, do you think you'll just grow into the umbrella of LGBTQ? Because our show has evolved a lot over 8 years. So I'm curious.
Yeah, you're here. And it is a black pod, but okay, you know.
Can I tell you the funniest shit Mandy said yesterday? We were in this goddamn room. Someone sent us a home mail. And the guy said, oh, my girl wants to take me to Africa, but she's white. Mandy said, she better be out there building a village.
Oh, no. and better.
So, no, you're not the woman you were yesterday.
No.
But, no, you really. Like, what do you think this spot is going to have to be? Because can it really be entirely lesbians? Are you going to try to honor that? Or what have you envisioned for it?
I think when we started, it was a 10-episode series on coming out. That's all it was.
Oh.
It was going to be, we had identified like 10 or 12 actually kind of very distinct steps in the coming out process that a lot of us had experienced.
What are those?
Oh, God, put me on the spot.
Not all 10 or 12, but just,
just like religion, like dealing with religious struggles, dealing with culture, the kind of am I bi, am I gay moment, just these very distinct steps of like, you know,
I never
the process that you go through.
Oh, I knew I was bi. How do you question that? Like, if you like dick and pussy, you bi, not gay, right?
Well, you must have had it because you were with a man.
I think I went through like a very, because I lived in Texas, it was very normal to be married and have kids by 25. And so I was very much on that track. I was like, I had a house, cars, a bank account with a guy. Like, I was in it deep. And then I found out he had a kid I didn't know about 3.5 years into the relationship.
Love a double life, boy.
They do. Even the white
ones.
He was a pilot. He what?
He was a pilot. So it makes sense, you know?
Okay, makes sense.
But
just like it makes sense when you deal with an athlete or a man with money, of course he's going to cheat. Okay.
Yes. So I find out about this. Now I have this like mental break and I'm like, wait, this is not working. I need to kind of reassess. I actually had a breakdown in the Planet Hollywood in Vegas. And I was like, okay, I'm leaving. I'm leaving Texas. I quit my job. I got my packed up my two dogs and I moved to LA.
And you made a podcast.
On a jump. Yeah.
You see what men will make you do.
I need to become a fucking podcaster.
So then I do want to go back to that relationship because I understand the trauma of feeling like you've been lied to, betrayed, especially with someone that you're making plans with. But were you actually enjoying the sex? Like when you were with this man, was there more that you were like, I'm not, this doesn't feel
like,
right?
Did he really drive you to be gay? Because someone's going to watch this and be like, she's going to change your mind.
Right. No. I think, God, I was just so shut off to so many parts of me back then. I was working a corporate career, which I hated. I was dating a man.
Which we hated.
Exactly, which we hated. So it's just like, I think once you shut yourself off to one part of you, you just kind of are a zombie and you're shutting yourself off to a lot of different parts of you.
I could see that.
So yeah, so then when I kind of had like a break, moved to LA, I switched my apps. Clearly that was something that I was like heavily, I hadn't consciously thought about, but if I'm switching my apps, clearly I'm really being pulled to something. I switch my app, I go on a date, and now I'm like in a full-blown relationship during COVID with a woman. And it's like this just complete switch.
This was your first time going on a date with a
first
woman?
First date I ever went on. I ended up being in a 9-month
relationship. Were you
that
like,
is the most lesbian.
Exactly.
Were you like, who pays for this? Were you confused? As someone who's never dated a woman, how do you just go on an app, say, I'm going to try women now? How are you?
If it was like riding a bike, that's how she probably knew she was gay. Keep going.
I was so confused.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm more of a stoner mushroom type person. But that night before that date, I went on the street from my house, took 4 shots of vodka and was like, okay, pick me up. And I don't know. But she was a kind of masculine leaning girl. So I think it's like she's going to lead. You kind of are attracted to that at
first.
Look
at the patriarchy again.
No. But
no,
it's
really
easy,
it's true. Easy switch. An easy entry switch. Point. Yeah. You're like, okay. At least there's probably going to be some gender role, like normativity there.
Okay.
And there was. And she really took control in my first relationship in a lot of different ways and kind of taught me the ropes a little bit.
Did she ever make you feel kind of shitty about the fact that she was your first?
100%.
Really?
They say that lesbians do that more than any person in the queer community. And it's because I guess maybe as women, we feel so like left out of it. And so they're just kind of like, damn, you, I don't know. But
I actually wonder if from experience, it was because she was more masculine presenting and your last relationship was just with a man. Because I remember when I got to New York, there was like this girl I used to like, but she used to bring me to all the lesbian parties.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did they all fight, but I was interested in quite a few of the studs. And as soon as they found out that I was bi, they wanted nothing to do with me because it's like
they
also,
feel like they'll leave.
Well, innately, they don't want to feel like they're competing with men because they're masculine. They don't want that. They just want lesbians. So I've only been with really femme girls because I'm bi and will need dick and want it and do. And they're like, they've literally not wanted anything to do with me because of my bisexuality. So I wonder if that was that insecurity, her thinking that maybe she was just a phase.
Yes.
You know?
I think that is definitely a thing, unfortunately, in the lesbian community. I think people are hurt because there is by women who are maybe like in that struggle.
Yep.
And so a lot of the times when you're newer, you're kind of discounted and it's kind of like, no,
they,
I don't really want to.
They really don't like bis.
Not all of us.
Well,
but
yeah,
it is a thing, unfortunately. And I don't really know why.
How do you feel about it now? You said you have a girlfriend or did you mean you're my girlfriend?
I'm in a relationship now. Yes.
Of course you are. the next date you're on. But no, like, so you probably had met a bi girl after that. And like, did you then feel the insecurity that your ex-girlfriend had? Or you got a type. I did see your girlfriend on your picture. You got a type.
I definitely have a type. I did try to date a few different types though.
Okay.
Because when you're new to dating women, I wanted to make sure I wasn't just like going to what felt normal.
Can we get into the types?
Sure.
We are here saying names and she just said a few and I'm like, I think we got to bleep it out. I think it's a slur.
I don't think dyke is a slur. I think we're just not I don't think we're supposed to say it.
I think dyke is okay if I say it. Because I'm a lesbian.
You're not lesbian. That's why I said, even though you eat coochie, you can't say it unless you... That's why I said we can't say it.
Oh, I've been saying butch because the butch bitch that I fucking...
Okay, so this is another one. I don't know if that one's okay or not because I've said that, but then I'll get like my emails will blow up saying I'm not supposed to say certain things. Oh, so I don't
not,
really
you're
know.
Not, you're not butch.
Well, I don't know.
But you're femme. And then there's lipstick femme. Then what are all these...
So wait.
What are the signs?
Femme for black girls is what butch is for white girls.
From what I understand, yes.
Yes.
Okay. So that's why nobody says nothing to me when I said that butch bitch.
Oh, because you were talking about a white woman.
And then most of our followers are like, okay.
But right. In stud, we use that real loosely. But the D word, again, I know we ain't supposed to say.
I think that's the only one that's like.
Why is that?
Yeah, do you know?
Do you know why?
She's only 2 years into lesbianism.
Yeah, I know. I'm very new at this.
We're asking her the history of lesbianism. And she's like, I just got here, bitch.
I don't know. You dating one who look a little.
she
looked like she played baseball.
My girlfriend. No, so my girlfriend would be like what's considered, actually the word is so terrible. It's butch because it's like femme and butch.
You know we say stem.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what she would be considered.
I didn't know she was considered like that because she's prettier.
Yes.
Sorry. But is that
that's probably not. It's like she's like she dresses a little bit more feminine.
But is that not just androgynous?
No.
No.
So the
I'm gonna get canceled after this. I don't think I'm doing the lesbian community justice here.
We ain't really worried.
You
about
don't
it.
Get canceled on this platform.
Okay. So like, no
way.
I saw that your girlfriend had the reason I could see why you would have said butch. What I'll say is stem. So I was making the joke about baseball or whatever. It was literally because I saw her wear a hat and a tee, and you were wearing something more girly. But when you said that just now, I'm like, oh, she had longer hair, mm-hmm. and I had a softer face. And maybe more conventionally attractive for a woman. That's where I was seeing that. However, what I would like to know is, have you ever told someone that you like more masculine women and maybe they got offended? Or maybe were like, well, that's not me. Had you experienced that with your current girlfriend? Or maybe are there areas where you're finding the dynamic, like needing to find a top and bottom? Like, yeah.
Huh. The top and bottom thing is interesting. I don't know that that's something anymore. I feel like that's very
everybody verse, ain't it?
Yeah, I really feel like that. I mean, I definitely think there's like a more like dominant presence usually, but I feel like that I'm that in my relationship, which you wouldn't really expect. You would expect my girlfriend, who is like a little bit more of the masculine one, to be more of that like top presence. So
it's crazy that this can be such a just regular conversation and talking about mask presenting, femme presenting in terms of lesbianism. Because this is actually how I be trying to explain why I don't want my man to have nail polish. I want my woman to have nail polish. So there are things that we consider to be masculine and feminine, mm-hmm. not gay or straight.
By the way,
the masculine.
When you mentioned dominant and we're using the word mask, when I was on ecstasy,
it was just one time.
I like a story that starts like that,
right? So, like, basically, we were like talking with these people, didn't know we were high. And one of the guys said to me, like, ain't it funny how all lesbians got to have one that's more manly and one that's more girly? And literally this thing unlocked in my brain that I was like, all of my friendships have a more dominant person. One of us is making the calls to the rest of them. One of us isn't. One is probably the one who's a little more extroverted and the other one is. There's always kind of this juxtaposition within people. And I actually think all relationships, colleagues, platonic, friendships, romantic, always kind of have that. I think that we push that shit on lesbians to make them feel bad, but I actually really believe every dynamic kind of has it. Even my business partner and I, we're verse. There's times where he's kind of more dominant in work and I am. Like, so I think we've got to really let lesbians kind of have that one, because there's so many times where me and Mandy and I have made jokes when we were doing the couples game where we're like, okay, who's the top and who's the bottom? Because we don't want to say who's the man or woman. But I realize now it's like, oh, damn, that must maybe
it's
someone.
The same thing.
Yeah, it really is.
I almost hate to even use the gendered terms because it's just like balance.
That's why top or bottom was mine. But dominant is a better way.
Dominant, submissive, mask, femme, like just the opposites.
Yes.
But there are also a lot of lesbians that look, I'm like, femme girls date each other too.
Yes. That's why I say I hate to use like the mask or
same
gendered thing, because it's like,
that's not the case. Two femmes can be together.
Yeah. I was. Everybody made us feel like shit. People would act like we were doing porn. People made me feel so bad. She got really upset one night. I remember we were in Paris together And this guy was like making us kiss because he didn't thought we were lying.
Yeah, that's been the thing.
Oh,
I'm so. I don't think that happens as much anymore. But I remember growing up when I would be out with my homegirls. The way to get a man away is we'd be like, well, this is my girlfriend. And the man would definitely, probably 9 times out of 10, respond, we'll kiss and prove it
yes.
to me. Wait, do you still get that?
I get, no, you're not. I used to work in the club. And so then when I would tell people I was lesbian, the guys are like, no, you're too pretty to be a lesbian. That's the, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Danny, have you ever had two girls tell you they were together when you tried to hit on a woman?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened to all of us, I feel like.
Do you feel ugly when it happens?
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, no! No, for real.
But what if they're really lesbian?
But your instinct is to believe them.
I mean, I believe them, for sure. I mean, yeah.
Nah, he's just trying to be nice right now.
It depends on the setting. Like, if it's, like, you feel like she's giving someone else motion, and you just, I'm not getting the motion, then I might be ugly. But if it's... She's with her shorty, then yeah, it's probably... It doesn't happen often, though.
He's like, let me be nice.
He's like, it don't happen often. He said it don't happen often. He said it's happened in my lifetime. That's all.
We want to do our vanilla shit with you, which is our news segment. And I was like, let me find a gay one. But this one was actually real good.
She did.
So this is a BuzzFeed article that came out last year, December 11, 2023. And it says, I just found out that lesbians tend to make more money than straight women, and the reasons why make sense. Have you heard this?
No, but this does make sense.
Okay. Bring this up on your little gay podcast.
Yeah. You're right.
Did you know that lesbians tend to make more money? And the phenomenon is known as lesbian wage premium. And so recently, a woman did a deep dive. Her name is Aria Velez on why. And so it says, for years, social scientists have been observing that lesbians are making more money than straight women. But how? So there was 30 international studies and gay women are earning 10% more, even depends on, doesn't matter the country. And so here are some of the reasons why. Here are the obvious. I want to know what you think the obvious reasons are.
Oh, I would say they spend less money on it than nails because these acrylics is 170.
What that got to do with making more?
They have to be short.
They save more money. they have more
but
money.
But they're earning more, Mandy, at jobs.
Oh. Oh, you know why?
Can we ask the lesbian, please? Thank you.
I'm so curious.
I
was just saying the nails. That's all I got for you.
Okay, go. Tell us now.
I think it's because we aren't so focused on the heteronormative lifestyle.
What do you mean by that?
Marrying a man, having kids, settling down. And we're like, it's almost like this, we can focus on other things because we're not so focused on locking a man down to get married. Generalize. Right. I'm speaking every man or every woman does this.
Dick will make you poor because the obvious reason they are less likely to have children. this one's interesting. Lesbians live in more predominantly more in cities, which probably means that they're moving to cities because they're more liberal, just like you,
which means they're paying more. The pay is more.
And it says that lesbians tend to be more educated than straight women, which that I didn't know, but probably because they go on to school.
And they're not focusing on these niggas.
Okay.
Never, well, because the dick will fuck you up, especially if you in college.
You remember that episode?
You fucking man, you get pregnant, you can't finish college because you got pregnant.
We interviewed a handicapped girl, and she said she almost had a chance to walk again, but she was fucking on this dude, and she was so worried about dick, she missed the appointment.
Like physical therapy?
We got to have fucking Frenchie back on. She's hilarious. Yeah. She's on a podcast called Watching the Throne. They're all in wheelchairs.
I ain't going to hold you. We seeing... These girls tat a man's face on their cheek and ass. I don't want, I might end up being a guest on your pod soon. Because the way I don't want these problems with these men, they're making bitches stupid out here. Like, the dick is literally fucking with their brain.
Yep.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
By the way, Frenchie was a teenager when she said that, she was a teenager when she got shot. So it's like, you know, you're a kid, you're fucking around. But
you're a kid. This,
like, because I think, like, as an adult, maybe you're taking your health more serious, but I love how much she laughed about it with us. We were like, no, really, dick got you handicapped. But in lesbian couples, household labor tends to be more equally divided, so neither partner is sacrificing work.
That makes sense.
So you're not so worried about going home and fucking cooking dinner because you know your girl gonna do the other half.
That makes sense.
In contrast,
so you gonna get that OT. You gonna get that time and a half. Because you like, bitch, I ain't got to run home and cook. She got it. I ain't got to go do the laundry and clean the house. She got it.
Both lesbian partners contribute more equally, meaning that lesbians do not face trade-offs on needing to focus on family or the pressures of it. And interestingly, when you look at wages with lesbians who have lived with a previous male spouse and lesbians who have never lived with a male spouse. Yes, that's true, Mindy. Baby broke. The lesson is here that lesbians are not better at making money. It just reconfirms that domestic labor situations at home contribute to how women earn less outside. That was the fucking...
Which does make sense. I mean, and you have to consider, too, I think kids is probably the biggest one. Like, there's certain shifts you can't take at jobs if you are the primary provider for your child. You have to pick them up from school. You have to drop them off. Mm-hmm. Or you then have to consider, dang, it's going to cost me this much in daycare and babysitting.
Yeah.
So there's even certain career paths and jobs that hetero women cannot take if they want to be mothers or wives.
You know, we were just talking about this. It's also that science is going to be involved regardless when we have kids. So the process can be delayed. It doesn't feel as like, you know, stressed or tight because it's like we can have kids at 38, 40.
You freeze your eggs or you're talking about adoption or so many different
options. And it's like already things that you're getting your brain around because when you are a lesbian, you're already thinking in that way. Versus like, I really do think I have straight girlfriends who are so stressed on these apps because they're aging out.
They're aging out, yeah.
And like men won't, now they're competing with like, you know, men probably have a high age range on their apps, 25 to whatever.
Oh, girl, 21 to whatever. Yeah.
So now you're competing with those girls and you're older and then I feel like men think like that.
They
like,
do. Oh, no, they absolutely
you're timed out or you're aging out.
Oh, they voiced
what do you mean
it.
Think
they,
like that.
No, they it's literally insane. Said it. They, okay, literally, they literally are like, your value decreases as you age in being a woman. Like, and let's be very clear, we've talked about it as well. Like, men don't really care about the successes or how much money you make or where you are in your career. They're looking at how can you support them? How can you show up as a wife? How can you nurture our children? How can you take care of this house?
Listen and to it every time, every time.
And I think a lot of women right now, we are because if we don't work, we don't pay our bills because these motherfuckers ain't really paying our bills or making enough money to really provide like they should. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting into these positions where we're really proud of the things that we're doing mm-hmm. and not willing to stop doing it to be a fucking arm candy housewife.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that you've taught your friends since being gay that you... Maybe didn't. No, sorry. Being out.
It's just being out. That's fine.
Being out. Since being out as a lesbian that you hadn't really noticed before. Like, have you seen some stuff in maybe even yourself from before where you were like, damn, I was tripping. Like, I shouldn't have been so obsessed with, I don't know, whether it be marriage or status or, you know, having the cars and house. Like, have you been able to put that
into
your
I'm a completely different person. Like, 180, 100%. I could not be more different than I was when I was straight.
Wow.
I mean, like I said, I was fully in a marriage. I essentially had a divorce with a man. And like my focus was, yeah, I'm going to have this like little 9-to-5 career. I'm going to try to make, you know, $100,000 a year. Like I was very okay with whatever my life was going to be because it was a man was going to come along. We were going to have a baby. We were going to have the white picket fence. Whatever. And that was it. I was so in that mindset. And then when I came to LA, it was like, I came out. That was the first thing that kind of awoke everything. It was switching my app, dating a woman. And then it was like, fuck everything. I got laid off from my job, from my corporate job. I was like, I'll never do it again. I went back to bottle service after I hadn't been in the clubs for a long time. And at 26, 27, I'm back in a club because I'm like, I won't do it. I will not go back to. So it was like this shift in, okay, if I'm going to disappoint society in this way, then I might as well do whatever the fuck I want to do because.
You felt like you were disappointing society by going back into the clubs?
No, but well, kind of. But really by being gay is more so what I meant. Like,
okay.
I'm already not what everybody says I should be. So like, I'm not going to work the job. I'm just going to go back and do what takes the least amount of time.
And make the money
and free up my mind to do other things. And like, I truly can say that's why I have the podcast. Because my girlfriend found me she found me on TikTok casting a lesbian reality TV show. She created a show. Found me literally... I said, the minute I block my ex-girlfriend's number, my whole life is going to change. I block my ex-girlfriend's number.
Keep talking. People need to hear this.
Yes. it's an energy thing. The minute I close this energetic door on this toxic first girlfriend that I had, the one that was, you know, whatever, I am gonna, my whole life, I'm gonna get every single thing that I wanna get. And 3 days after I blocked her number, my girlfriend messaged me, do you have any interest in being on reality TV? And we did this whole thing. It was a pilot that got shot. It didn't get greenlit. But because that didn't get greenlit, we started the podcast together.
Wow.
And we're like, let's try to do some sort of version of that type of representation.
Danny, put the camera on me.
Do you bitches hear this shit?
You were potting. You right are now. Potting. Talking to
they
them.
Hear me.
Block him today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let him go. Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Sorry.
Truly. Him or her, honestly.
Oh, them. Block them all.
Just men are worse. But anyway, you block. That happens. I'm curious. Did you ever have a moment where you were like, oh, I'm jumping from relationship to relationship?
Yes, when I was, well.
And is it okay? Is rebounding okay?
Okay, to be fair, my girlfriend and I broke up and then we were very lesbian on and off. For like,
well, that's hetero too, girl. I didn't did the on
yeah,
and
you
off.
Did okay, okay.
Not just lesbian, girl. The hetero community be on and off a little bit.
Good
too.
Pussy's good pussy.
good dick. Yo, we be on
what do
and
you
off
think
too.
Makes good pussy?
God, it's so different with women. It's so much more of an emotional mm-hmm. thing.
We are so much of criers. Keep going.
But that's what I love about it. I don't know. I'm such a lesbian in that way. Me and my shoes. That's
I couldn't do it. That's why I don't like. I be like, no. I just have sex with women. I couldn't be with them.
Interesting.
It's too emotional for me. Too needy. Like, oh. Girl, yeah, I don't like
Amanda's
that.
Bitch.
That's
it's not
so
that I'm a bitch,
interesting.
It's just, that's not okay. What I can't.
Wait, that's giving avoidance.
No, I can't be that. I can't be that for somebody. I have a lot that I'm personally working on. I also like to just sometimes have my space. And like women be liking to be up under motherfuckers. Mm. They just do. Like, I think that even my, see, I can't stand it, bro. I like to have sex with you. Like I just met over the holiday break. I met this girl at a homeboy's house and immediately we like connected and it was cool. I was like, you know,
is that connected or
no, it was like, I could probably fuck her. Like if we hang out a couple more times. And so we exchanged numbers, but immediately she was like, let me know when you make home. I'm going to come over tomorrow and cook you breakfast. Oh my God. I leave before.
Oh my God.
Girl.
Oh my God. That happened to me too in Paris.
Offered to like cook me breakfast the next day. I leave out of town. But then when I come back, I want to take you here. I have this party. And she started sending me all these plans. And I was like, girl, first off, I'm good. I don't eat breakfast. I'm not hungry. I have busy things going on. I said, we'll run into each other.
Yeah.
But it immediately was like, I had to push her away because it was too much. Mm. And I think like that's what a lot of women do. Women also be playing. I've shared another story where me and my homegirl, she came over, laid in my bed, ass naked, and literally didn't want to fuck because she wanted me to take her to the movies first. Bitch, if you don't put your clothes on, get out. Like, I was so upset because I noticed how bitches be playing with niggas, too. Like, oh, my God, but you have to take me to the movies first. When are we going to go on a date? You are in my bed naked, bitch. Put some clothes on if we ain't going to fuck right now. I was so annoyed that she even played with me like that. Like, the mental gymnastics of women to me is too draining.
Have you had experience?
No.
Ugh.
So...
Maybe.
Okay, U-hauling is a real thing.
What is it called?
U-hauling.
When they move in.
Yes.
Okay.
You take
not
U-haul.
What Akeem Woods did when he sucked dick in that
the
one
U-haul. No.
Friend of the show. Keep growing.
So U-hauling is where women will try to move in.
That's like the stigma or
well,
whatever
no,
they call
a term
it.
For it's
it
a, so yeah, clearly it's happening.
It is. It's a thing. I think as women, we connect on a deeper level. I know right away, is this going to go somewhere? Is this not going to go somewhere? So then you're like, okay, well, it's expensive. We're in LA. Let's not pay two rents. Let's just move in. You know, it's just this whole thing. But I think that I lost where I was going with that thought. But yes, U-hauling is
like. Do you do two bedrooms when you move in with a girl that quickly? No, you sleep in the same room.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes. But not, okay, that's where I was
Wait,
going. Not all.
Wait, same friends?
No, I mean, but. This is why I said, we had the conversation about the separate bedrooms. If I even move in with a man, like my ex, I was talking about it. We was like, well, we need a two bedroom. And you can have some of this.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Like me, if I think about moving in with a person right now, it's not to say we got to get another bedroom. because there's two of us. What you talking about? We need closet space. If I'm mad at you, we gonna have a little guest bed that you can sleep in. I can't imagine living with someone right now with one bedroom.
Yeah, I just stayed in a loft apartment in Mexico for a week with the dude I'm dating, and I was like, oh my god, I need to shit.
That's a real thing.
Do you sync up with your partners?
It's pretty enmeshed. I will say that. Like, I think good relationships have healthy boundaries.
Oh, so you live with your girlfriend?
Yes, we very much do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do, but I think we're kind of, it's a healthier relationship.
But now you're working together.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
Ooh, what should we be fighting about?
I think we're very... Everything. No, I don't think that's true. I really don't. I think it's so much easier to communicate with a woman. It's like, we get it. We're both in therapy. We're both healing. It's here's why I did what I did. Here's why you did what you did. And it's like, I hear you. And then you actually see change. Like, it's different than communicating with a man. I never got there with a man.
It's a brick
fucking wall.
It's difficult.
And with a woman, it's like, it's a back and forth. We get it. But my girlfriend and I are so different. I'm like the dreamer. Let's do more. I want more. Don't cap us. She's very like, let's focus on today, right now, and the process. And
what's her sign?
She's a Taurus. I'm a Gemini.
Here we go. We about to stars and moons this thing.
Okay. I date a lot of Tauruses. My ex-girlfriend was a Taurus too. And I'm dating a Taurus man right now.
Okay. They're great. Mm-hmm. I love a Taurus. I need a Taurus.
You
I
just
need
love
that
the person and they happen to have a birthday where the Taurus lands on the calendar.
Until you find a meme that you like.
Oh, the meme, it's a meme. I don't live my life by memes. I'll repost a meme real quick. And yes, I'm a Libra. And if it says something cute, I would just post that thing. But I don't stars and moon shit, okay?
Take what we like. So in your new relationship, are there any traumas you've brought from your past? Because I know when I'm dating men, I'm kind of bringing a lot of my old insecurities up. Like, is he lying? Is he doing this? Is he scheming? What about you? Like, have you done that?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, a lot of family of origin. I'm like the oldest, so there's a lot that comes with that. My brother's a professional baseball player and the baby and the only boy of the family. So there was like a lot of, you know, attention there. I think there's like some abandonment. You know, we all have something.
Our trauma.
I don't know.
Yeah. No. I mean from like literally the last ex that you just said.
Oh, from the last ex. Yeah, I think she really made me feel bad about where I fit in within the community.
Oh, wow.
And like my nobody's ever going to want to be with you because you came out so late. You don't know what you're doing. That type of thing. She also was like really, she would kind of slight put me down. Like,
wait, you don't know she's going like what? Like fucking?
Huh?
She would say like, you didn't know what you were doing in what realm?
I think all. No, like sex is scary when you haven't had sex with women. But it's something that you've wanted your whole life and you've only had sex with men and then you switch. The first time I had sex with a girl, I did not move. My hands literally stayed glued to my side. I was terrified.
What kind of sex did you have?
Like, everything.
No,
she went down on me, fingered me, gave me head. It was the full thing. And I just...
Did you scissor?
Not that time. Not first time.
So, when it was happening, did you know that you wanted more or did you feel like, oh, I don't know how to reciprocate?
I didn't know how to reciprocate.
That's exactly how I felt. There's even moments where if it's been too long, I feel the exact same way. I'm like, damn, I've been sucking dick for how many shit? Like,
well, the thing is yes, but also every girl is different.
And eating pussy is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
And is. Yeah, because like I actually like fingers inside me, but again, I like penetration.
Me too.
There's a lot of women that you have to ask for. Like, some women don't want fingers in them at all.
No.
Like,
I don't like you licking too hard. We just had a guest on a few months ago, Christina, who talked about the teeth. Like, yo.
It's teeth? What?
Teeth. She said it felt like her labia was getting stuck in the teeth.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah. And again, there's still, we also know that women don't often tell their partner when something doesn't feel good. We do that with men. So I think that it becomes, we're trying to teach each other what feels good when we have also innately not really grew up being able to tell people what we like, what we don't like, exploring our bodies really late. That's what a lot of us are.
What up, Bredren?
Y'all, make sure you get your tickets now. May 5th, we are at the Earth Theater in London.
Listen, we made this a specific request to be in London on the weekend so that our all of our Euro people can come and see this. We want our whole
Not
hive.
Our Euro people.
European people. Okay. European people. Whatever. All the black people that live over there, just take that motherfucking Eurostar and come and see us. We're going to be there May 5th. We are having a whole new show, one that you didn't see. This is a part of the Climax Tour. So even if you were on the Climax Tour and you need a little trip, it's going to be warmer. It's going to be fun. Come through and see it.
That's right. Make sure you head on over to whorehive.com and get your tickets now.
This is a really good moment. We have a hors d'oeuvre segment where we ask for a sex tip. And I don't know if I've ever asked for this, and I feel like this is a really simple thing to say, but I dated a girl for a few years on this pod. So during that time, and you remember, oh, fans were disrespectful as fuck. It was crazy. Like, that was probably the most I'd ever felt violated, always touched by women. They were just doing a lot. But I think girls were just fantasizing more because they got to hear lesbian stories more than hetero ones at the time. However, a lot of the questions were, want to be with a girl, how do I do it? How do I do it? Where do I start? I really want to talk about that. Like, first time lesbian sex, how could we be decent at it? Like, let's talk to someone that's never done it.
I think literally every time I'm asked this, because on my podcast, this is probably the number one question that we get about
how do I do this?
It's my first time and how do I do it? And the answer is, it's gonna be so embarrassing and so fucking awkward. And like, that just is what it is. Like, I don't think there's any practical advice that you can give for with a man. There is.
Because your legs are open.
That's it. Yes.
Like, what about for touching? Like, do you recommend that someone says it's their first time? Do you recommend that they're trying oral? Like, where can they practice? Like, we got to give these bitches some.
Okay. I think going back to what you were saying, how we aren't taught to communicate, lesbian sex is so communicative.
Oh, that's
it's
true.
It's normal to talk. It's normal to say, do this, do that. I like this. And I know that doesn't feel very normal, but like, get feedback in a lesbian relationship is so important, because if you don't help me get there, I'm never going to get there. Like, it's going to take me 6 months to do what I could do in 6 minutes if you just talk to me, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's like the number one actual practical tip. Other than that, find the fucking clit. I mean, I don't know.
I think bringing in toys also like could help. Maybe that's a little too much in the beginning.
I feel the opposite. I think toys take it away from being all on you.
Yes, it could be easier in that way.
It would be easier. That's what I'm saying. If it's a lesbian, like lesbian sex, to me, and again, I wouldn't just start pulling out toys the first time. I always say, talk about toys first. I love talking about toys first. What are we going to play with? Let's go together and buy them. But I think that is what would take the pressure off of a first time with a lesbian, is actually having toys there.
Yeah.
Because it takes the pressure off of you actually having to do all the things. And now you're just using the toys. So now my hands can be free. Sometimes my hands be getting tired. Or the motherfucking wand, it's like, it's just too much. So to have somebody, like, that was one of the things I used to love about having sex with my ex. We brought in so many toys. It felt great sometimes for someone to use toys on me.
Yes.
So to me, that would be maybe my tip. If someone's scared, like, maybe just play with toys first.
Yeah. What are your favorite toys to use in your relationship?
I love a vibrator. I'm one of the people that I can't really come from penetration. It's like not, I think like I was saying before, I've got weird trauma around it. I don't love it unless there's like a shit ton of intimacy. There has to be a lot built up first.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, we can introduce a toy.
Again, makes sense why men doesn't work for you.
Uh-huh. Yes. So I'm very, very like clit stimulation, and any vibrator I'm happy
I told
with.
Someone okay. recently on an interview that I did when they were, it wasn't recently, it was old. But I remember they were like talking about things to do for your first time. And I was like, yo, I think thinking of masturbating together and with each other is maybe the easiest way to talk about being gay for the first time, particularly because, like, I remember rubbing my clit on a lot of her body and fingering myself, but then her fingering me, showing her what to do, a lot of kissing, but like touching each other. And it was tough because you feel like you're going to be so bad. And we know how bad our experiences with men have been if they're too rough. So you want to be super gentle, but then not gentle enough to where you seem like you don't know what you're doing. It's a lot of pressure. And I wanted to ask some questions about four girls that are wanting to have their first experience with a woman. You mentioned apps. Tell us some of those, if you'd recommend that, or maybe just a lesbian night at a gay club. What do you think?
I was on Hinge, and that's where I... No.
Okay, wait. Go ahead and share your experience, girl.
Well, I was on Hinge. I swiped. I went on a date, and then I got into a relationship.
Okay, so you weren't on there very long. It worked for you. Congratulations.
So maybe just one and done.
And then, yeah, I mean, after
what
I
are the girls her, using? Was that oh,
no.
her?
I think
they were
it's
on Hinge.
No,
they're Hinge.
Oh, why not her?
Because the ones
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I just ugly? Don't think they're just like not the best.
Oh,
I would say.
Hey, on that app.
Yes, she did.
She said you go swipe left a lot.
You are.
What about Bumble? Did you use Bumble?
No, I feel like Hinge is the one. Like you know Hinge and Raya.
You know why I believe that?
That's all I use.
When I was on, when I got on there, I actually had to take. So I went on there. It says bisexual, so I'm interested in men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, I had to take the women off. It was too much of them. Way too many women. They were all very good looking. I was like, oh no, this is at this point a bit uncomfortable. Like, it's too much. There were too many women. I felt like it was too much to choose from.
Yeah.
And I clearly was like, I really don't want to have to take y'all on dates. I really just want to fuck. So I said, let me get women off of this. I'm looking for love.
How did you know what your girl type was? Because
I didn't.
You said you've known you were gay for a long time. But how did you know and what were those feelings like?
Oh, you actually. So I had this friend when I was little that was like, I mean, we were like 3 and 4 years old and we used to play house and we used to kiss.
Yeah, well, aren't you?
Exactly. And I think her and then my first nanny, her name, she looks exactly like my girlfriend. They both have like really similar, they all like, or no, my first friend and my nanny have
this
very similar characteristics. And they both look like my girlfriend. The nanny is my girlfriend, I swear. I'll have to show you guys pictures.
So wait, now there may have been some subconscious yes. to where you were attracted to these people when you were younger, but you were fighting it.
So I kind of think so because I have a memory also where I asked my nanny what sex was. She like I didn't ask my parents, but I had heard about sex and I asked my nanny. So I don't know if there's some sort of like weird
psychological
correlation or something. I don't know with my nanny and sex.
How did your parents take you coming out, especially being from Texas? Like
that we're from Chicago originally.
Okay.
And we moved to Texas when I was like 8. So okay. My parents are super progressive, liberal.
Do they think
like,
you're going through a phase?
I think they were shocked, but no, because I'm pretty okay. Like, you know, I was like, no, I've gotten here. I'm there. Like, so I think they were, I don't think it was that type of
do
thing.
Do you feel like there was some, did you have a coming out post online? Oh, I love those.
No, I've
seen two of them. And one of them, I was like,
and you only
know.
Just came out 2 years ago. And 2 years ago was when Starbucks had all the rainbows was everywhere, yeah. Baby.
I was
it
proud.
Was the time.
Oh, Republicans were,
you know what I mean?
Not having it.
It was
get these drag queens out of the school.
It was wild. So like 2 years ago, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Yep. It's everyone's online.
Yep.
Did you tell the world online at all? You did.
And you guys, that's this post. I used to have quadruple D boobs. So like part of my straight life was like massive fucking tits. So it's me in this tank top with a roller in my hair, smoking a joint, coming through these doors.
Oh my God.
And
oh, bitch, you curated the post.
It's on video. You
curated a whole coming
well,
out
it was
video.
Kind of like I was doing a TikTok.
Like a gender reveal, but my...
Kind of, yeah. And I said, I think I said like, in case you haven't heard, because it was, the post was like me... coming out
the closet
at 30 or at 28 or something, like basically like older. And yeah, I it's so excessive. It's like, why did I do that?
You still you archived it,
huh?
You got it up still?
Yeah.
No, we need to, we're gonna
yeah post, yeah of course
we're gonna yeah, post yeah. On social media.
Everybody's about to go run and look. What's
I mean, so but was that a conversation with any of the other lesbian friends that you may have had, or you know, even family members? Was there a conversation about coming out, like, and what that announcement had to look like, or how you would tell the world?
I think, yeah, I mean, I had to come out because it was,
you felt like you had to?
Yeah, I for my family, kind okay. of, yeah, because I had lived such a different life and I had dated so many men and been in like serious relationships with men. So I did feel like, okay, I have to say something, you know? And I think I was so comfortable in it by the time I came out. The only one, I called my mom in a panic during the, you know, pandemic. And I was like, oh my God, I'm in a full-blown relationship with a woman. Just bawling. I didn't know what was going on. But I waited to tell everybody else, like to tell my family. And I think by the time I told the rest of my family, I was so secure in myself. And like, this is who I am. And I had already gone through the am I bi and all of that stuff, the religious stuff, that I came to a point where I was like, I was ready to answer questions.
Do you have Kinsley scale moments where you're like, you said am I bi, but are there moments where you're seeing men and maybe you get a little
tingly in that pussy?
Or are you just looking at them in a different way? Like, he's handsome, but I don't want it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I live life in extremes. Like, I've been a stripper and I also worked in corporate America and I've dated men and I'm all the way. So I think I work in that way. I'm really quick to like make a jump to something.
I wish I could see the stripper in you. I don't see it. Maybe it's the pants you're wearing.
Oh, I see it. Not with these shoes, but I see a stripper. I ain't gonna hold you.
Beth, can you get the photo?
You're
very beautiful.
No, we need to put the shoes in it because people are going to come to this pose and be like,
bro,
I'm standing by these shoes.
I'm wearing them every day now.
Listen, we're going to come to your first live show and bring them to
the And I'm going to wear these shoes for you guys.
We're going to be like, wow.
what advice would you give to any women listening that feel as though they are lesbian and they want, like, they're considering coming out? Like, what battles and what things should they focus on before coming out to the world?
I think there's definitely like worldly and societal and cultural battles, but I think the most important part is getting really clear within yourself and like accepting it within yourself, because if you don't feel that way within you, you're not going to be able to fight the rest of the world, you know, and to stand firm and be okay with it.
Can I ask you, with it outside of your own community, it seemed like there's a lot of bickering within the LGBTQ community, but as a lesbian, I don't know. I feel like gay men, I definitely see society's pressures. What are the societal pressures on lesbians? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I think we're heavily sexualized.
Okay.
We're not really taken serious. I think it's more of a,
yeah, okay, you're gay.
Yeah.
You're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Which on the with the opposite end with men, it's like shameful. Like, you know, it's
you
not,
suck a dick, you're out.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's interesting. Okay, so believe that they actually believe that you want to take dick. You just don't right now.
Totally. I mean, I think that, or it's like somebody hurt you. You just need the right guy, or you just.
That's
you know.
What I was gonna say about your story. I know somebody's feeling like that.
100%.
Because that is super traumatic. But I think that we do need to end a certain relationship sometimes to like explore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're in the right relationship, the relationship we think that is right for us.
Mm-hmm.
To know that I'm with a guy who's, you know, doing well and like a pilot is such an amazing job. And like, it seems like the perfect family life. One thing I wanted to talk to you actually about before we wrap was, what does lesbian conversations surrounding family planning look like? And how soon is too soon? And yeah. How have you felt about it?
How y'all start saving? Because that shit is crazy.
I know it is.
Baby.
I think my girlfriend and I are actually like already in talks. We're not engaged yet, but it's
how long have you been together?
2 years. So it's getting there. And then, but you kind of have to think about these things because it's like, we're not ready now. We probably won't be ready for 4 or 5 years. And we got to freeze the eggs because we're in our 30s, you know?
So. That's it right there. I was just going to say to you, if you don't have them early, I feel like I had went on a few dates with a girl that was like, no way, I'm only adopting.
Oh, really?
And I was like, well that's no, she was saying, I'm not trying to do all this scientific shit. Like, look at all these kids in the world. And I was like, damn, I didn't feel like being gay was going to mean I couldn't have my own kid. And we were like on two different playing fields. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now you know why U-Haul happens. Because you are having these conversations. There's not a lot of like commitment things, I think.
With women, because women want relationships. Like, so, bitch, we go together. See, it's too much. It's too much pressure. Not always, but I've felt it.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh.
It's just different issues, I think.
Yes.
You know?
For sure.
And you're having these conversations really early. So, it's normal. It's like, I think on the outside, it's probably like, whoa, you guys are talking about that for a second, third date. But it's like, we got to know. Why?
Yeah.
We're not going to get all the way down the road. And now I find out that you don't really want kids or you don't really, this isn't the life you foresee, which is a lot more normal. In a community that's a lot more open and not so heteronormative. It's like why do you think open relationships and, you know, threesomes and like all of that stuff is so much more normal because you're already breaking the norm. Like,
tell me though, when it comes to freezing eggs, there's so many ways to have a kid with a woman, right? Maybe surrogate, maybe you're carrying your own baby. What about the sperm? Who have you guys talked about?
So we actually have a sperm donor.
How'd you pick it? Picky, like how he looked?
He's our best friend.
Oh,
yeah,
you want him around, okay?
Yeah, we want him around. I think he's a really good friend of ours. He's absolutely beautiful.
Smart?
He's a gay man. Yes.
Oh,
okay. He owns a interior design successful business. And we're like, he's just the best, you know? Wow. And so he is like actively like, yes, please let me. And so
whose eggs do you like? Do you fight over that?
I'm going to carry hers and she's going to carry mine.
Oh, you want two kids?
Wow.
So, okay. So y'all want to hear something crazy? My girlfriend's fucking insane and she wants to have kids at the same time.
She wants y'all to be pregnant together?
It's not happening.
Not the pregnancy pain.
It's not happening. That sounds like a TLC show.
It's literally giving pregnancy
Maybe I need to date her. That's my dream scenario.
And she wants me to carry twins. So that's three babies at one time.
Oh, no. She better carry the twins. She
I know. I said that. I said that.
I feel like I can understand this, which I also can get why you totally don't. You're like, we got to lean on each other.
Yes.
But for me, I think pregnancy is such a crazy experience. I've never been pregnant. Well, sorry. Never.
Bitch.
Yeah.
You never went through with a full pregnancy.
Fair.
You never gave birth.
I don't live in Texas. Let's just say that. Okay. My point.
When you do.
I've been pregnant. I've been down on the paper pregnant. Okay. So I feel like there's a lot that you could feel left out on through a lesbian pregnancy experience. Mm. So I think to have it together must feel so special because one person's getting all this attention. One person's feeling all these things. You'll know what that feels like. Like, that might be super dope. He got to live in the house with you, though. Somebody got to rub the feet.
Then it's like fine until the babies come. And then it's like, this is
all
not
once?
Fine.
Yeah, that's, no. That sounds.
Well, you got to.
I've put a boundary down.
That sounds like
I said, no,
hard.
This is not happening.
Tell all the lesbians and nons where to find you.
You can find me at Mal Glowinky, our show at Made It Out Podcast.
Made It Out Podcast. And all of that will be in the description of this episode. Guys, make sure you also head on over to blackeffect.com and get your tickets to see us in Atlanta, Georgia. On April the 27th, we are part of the Black Effect Festival, baby.
Atlanta's so gay. Look at that.
Hello. And then also, if you haven't yet, go on over to whorehive.com. If you are in London or surrounding areas, bitch, if you in Europe, go ahead and get your tickets. May 5th, we are at the Earth Theater in London. Again, that's at whorehive.com.
See you there.
Oh, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye. Yeah, it's bonus, bitches.
Welcome back, y'all. We're back for a cinema. We haven't done one in a while. But
we haven't?
When are we? When
they just got two cinemas.
That's the last cinema we did.
We got two last month. Let me look. Let me look on the Patreon. One. Yeah, man, and we posted on my thing back to back too.
I don't remember.
I mean, I just don't think we spend enough time really talking about the cinema the ways we should. So I know this one, like, I for sure want to get into it. But let me see the last cinema's
thing. Well, let me just say this: if you haven't watched Mea Culpa yet, please watch it.
Spoiler alert.
Can you please put the camera on me for a moment? I need to say something to Ms. Kelly Rowland.
You did one moment. You did a Who the Fuck Did I Marry cinema.
That don't count.
Why does that not count?
That wasn't a movie, bitch. Hold on. Let me get this out.
Go ahead.
Ms. Kelly Rowland.
She's not seeing this. She only sees this on her live.
How's she not seeing this? She said she fucked with us.
But she said she a patron?
It don't matter because we finna make this a clip. Let me tell you something, Ms. Kelly Rowland. Okay? I finished Mea Culpa and I loved it, mainly because we got to see you outside of shirt and pants. Now, what I was very upset about was the ending. That man wanted more of you and you said no. I understand you have a great husband and a life and children in real life. You should have said yes. We need the sequel. I needed a fantasy.
I disagree, hun. Stand on motherfucking business, ho.
What's the business? Fuck him again.
No, there was no business there. Let's
what
be very
was it
clear.
Not?
He is the reason one of her closest friends got stabbed and killed.
Huh?
Exactly, because she cheating all with the same nigga.
I don't remember that. I know.
No, of course you don't.
I know the paint got on that
pussy. Of course you don't. We gonna get to...
The best friend got stabbed. Oh, hold on, no!
No, yes, she did.
He is not the reason. He is not directly related to that. Just because he had bomb dick and everybody wanted to fuck him, he led that nigga to kill... No! And
by the way, if you...
It was
clearly,
a white woman that
clearly,
did
clearly, if you have not seen this, that we are about to give all types of spoiler
alerts. Oh, no, blame the black man
alerts.
For the white mother killing. Sure, Mandy. That makes sense.
It does.
Kelly, you should have fucked him. For TV. Sorry. Continue. I was very upset. I watched it again last night. And I just because I knew we were
that
talking.
That can't be the clip. We're not making that a clip.
Who not?
Bruh, we can't post a spoiler alert clip like that.
Yes, we can.
No,
it's been a
we
month.
Cannot. You just told him to end it.
Man, everybody watched that shit to see Travante
no,
and Kelly fuck.
No, but a lot
that
of
that shit hit Twitter
a lot
before
of, a
it
lot
hit
of them
Netflix.
Didn't make it to the end. So
That's because I'm gonna be honest with you. No disrespect. The first time
Go ahead. Oh, so you watched it twice. Okay.
The first time I watched it, I was skipping to see the fucking.
Okay.
And then, because I didn't have an hour and a half to give in the moment, but I was like, well, I got to see this.
No, you just have ADD.
I just want to, no. I wanted to see, like, did she show a titty? That's what I needed to see.
Okay.
I needed to go.
And then?
No, but I got enough. I got top of areola. That's all I expected to ever see from Miss Kelly Rowland. Top of areola really did it for me. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It felt like I was taking a peek into something that was my greatest fantasy. And
so Mia Culpa, y'all, is a thriller that was directed by the Tyler Perry Child. And I will say, I'm just glad that Kelly brought her own hair team, because normally the Tyler Perry wigs don't be given, mm-hmm. but Kelly was giving her.
And her outfits, too.
Her outfits slayed. I think her stylist is Colin, who also dresses Cardi B and Victoria Monet. Colin Carter. Love him down. But no, she's been slaying lately. I really, really like how she's been dressing and she brought all the fashions to it. I ain't gonna hold you. I don't know what the hate was for. I loved it. I was in the bed like this, and it could be because I'm so horny and so withdrawn from sex and haven't really had that zhuzh before that I was just like, oh my God, this is so great. So I guess we'll get right into the horrible decision and talking about
sexual tension, actually. Because it wasn't too much, it wasn't jam-packed with sex, but sexual tension can be the sexiest thing sometimes I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, we're so overloaded on sex from Twitter, IG, all of that stuff, that I think feeling the vibe out, and then they're both so fine, like, that really...
Well, I guess I want us to start there with sex scenes. Let's talk about the sex scenes not only in Mia Culpa, but I want to talk about overall sex scenes that we've seen recently in other films and television series. What were your thoughts on... So there's three sex scenes that I wanted to speak about in this. So you
Isn't
had...
there only three?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
in this film.
You're like, I wanted to talk about it.
So there was the sex scene. I guess I want to start with the first one because this is horrible.